The Public News Service Daily Newscast, September 26, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Ahead of the midterms in November, the Texas Secretary of State outlined details for a campaign. It's aimed at educating voters before the November election.
Governor Greg Abbott approved an elections bill last year that bans 24-hour polling places, tightens ID requirements, and limits drive-through and voting by mail. Wendy Weiser with the Brennan Center for Justice warns new tactics, such as candidates claiming election fraud even if they win, could lead to an election crisis.
We think that brief candidates can and should use all of the procedures available to them under the law and review election outcomes, but we need to do a lot to reinforce the norm of accepting the results of a valid election.
According to the political website 538, Texas has more 2020 election deniers running for the U.S. House or statewide office than any other state, with 201 of 552 Republican candidates convinced President Joe Biden did not win in 2020. I'm Roz Brown.
In-person early voting in Texas starts October the 24th and continues until November the 4th. A new study finds reclaiming abandoned mines and other degraded lands could bring hundreds of millions of dollars.
In the report, the National Wildlife Federation identifies more than 4 million sites in Arizona and across the country in need of remediation. Board author Jessica Arians says cleaning them up should benefit the most affected communities.
The burden of degraded lands really falls heavily on frontline and rural communities, and I would argue that makes it even more important that we really think thoughtfully about making sure we're engaging those communities in the implementation of degraded lands reclamation.
According to the report, every dollar invested in land restoration could return up to $30 in the form of improved food production, water quality, and carbon sequestration. The cleanup needs include abandoned mine and oil and gas well sites, brownfield and Superfund sites. Arizona ranks among the top states for its amount of degraded lands, and Scott Garland with the Arizona Wildlife Federation believes the Grand Canyon State has some of the most dangerous sites anywhere. Mark Richardson reporting.
The report urges state and federal lawmakers to increase funding for reclamation, saying it will help people and wildlife thrive and address climate and restore outdoor recreation opportunities. Now from CNN, Italy will be led by the most far-right government since the fascist Benito Mussolini, that according to early exit polls. CNN reports an alliance of far-right parties led by Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy party, whose origins lie in post-war fascism, were on track to win between about 41 and 45% of the vote. This is Piedas. Within the Inflation Reduction Act are provisions to help rural electric co-ops in new ways.
Rural electricity generation often is structured as a cooperative nonprofit with member owners, and any overpayment is returned to members. This structure meant co-ops were excluded from certain green energy tax incentives available to for-profit producers. The Inflation Reduction Act changed this and includes direct pay tax incentives for co-ops to deploy new energy technology. Additionally, the act includes a $9.7 billion grant and loan program for clean energy systems that gives electric co-ops broad flexibility to make upgrades to their infrastructure. Philip Frasica with Renew Missouri says as one of the most coal-dependent states in the country, Missouri stands to gain a lot from the program.
Really, out of most of the co-ops in the country, I think we're at probably the best value proposition for this program.
The plan offers individual co-ops up to $970 million to make upgrades. Brett Pivoteau reporting.
And the economy is usually a big topic during elections. With the midterms near, recent inflation woes are especially felt in tribal areas.
A recent nationwide poll noted that 63% of indigenous voters were experiencing serious financial problems. Douglas Yankton, chairman of the Spirit Lake Nation, says inflation has impacted the programs that provide an array of services on his reservation. Even though some of the pressure has eased, the ripple effect is still there.
A lot of those services don't go as far as they used to. Let's say transportation, for instance, with the prices of gas and oil and everything, we have to figure out new routes to accommodate for that full week.
He adds COVID still is a concern. Cases were disproportionately felt by Native populations. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Eric Tadoff lets us know a totem pole from the Lummi Nation in Northwest Washington is traveling across the country as part of a bid to call for clean energy and for environmental justice.
The pole left the Lummi Reservation in mid-September and has made stops along the way, including in Seattle, George Floyd Plaza in Minneapolis, and in Pittsburgh, which hosted a ministerial meeting on clean energy last week. Douglas James is with Lummi Nation's House of Tears Carvers, which crafted the 14-foot totem pole, and is traveling with it across the country.
We're just standing up for those that don't have a voice, like the birds, the frogs, the salmon, the orcas.
The totem pole is scheduled to reach Washington, D.C. this week. James says the Lummi Nation first dedicated a totem pole to victims of September 11th, 2 decades ago.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, on a great radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.